This is a Rabble Podcast Network show. New voices in your head. It's Radio Free Radio.
You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO at 100.5 FM.
It soon will be 12 years since the first prisoners were sent to Guantanamo by the Bush administration, sent there to avoid fair treatment and fair trials. At first, the world was shocked by the images of shackled, kneeling men in orange jumpsuits wearing face masks, blacked-out eye goggles, and industrial earmuffs in order to prevent them from seeing, hearing, and speaking. And then they were almost forgotten. But in the last few weeks, the Guantanamo prisoners have shattered the silence, taking their fate in their own shackled hands, with the great majority embarking on a lengthy, ongoing hunger strike that has captured international attention. To understand the importance of this hunger strike, we have contacted Diane Wilson. She's a co-founding member of the anti-war feminist group Code Pink. She's a fourth-generation shrimper and an environmental activist on the Texas Gulf Coast. As part of the Code Pink Solidarity Initiative with the Guantanamo prisoners, Diane is now herself in the 11th day of her hunger strike. She was arrested yesterday while chaining herself to the White House fence. Greetings, Diane, and welcome to Vancouver Cooperative Radio.
Hi, it's real nice talking to you there.
I'd start just with a simple question. How many of the prisoners who are still in Guantanamo have joined the hunger strike?
Well, according to the last data, it's 140. It used to be, the White House has, from the very beginning, very much reduced the numbers that they heard that was hunger striking. And they finally admitted to 100, but actually now it is probably 140 are on the hunger strike.
And that's out of about 166 detainees there.
That's right, 166. So almost the entire whole camp is on a strike almost.
That's quite amazing given what the hunger strike means. Have these Guantanamo prisoners that are on the hunger strike, have they been charged? Have they had any trial? Have they been convicted of any crime?
No. And matter of fact, both the Bush administration and the Obama administration, they, at least 88, have been totally cleared. There is not a single allegation of terrorism or anything that there's any, they're totally innocent, but they remained. And then the rest of them, they haven't been charged or went to trials. So, I mean, you've really got a big mess there. And these men need to be either tried and charged with a crime and get a fair trial, and the other ones need to be released.
Now, the hunger strike has been going on for some of the prisoners for almost 3 months, and obviously people have great difficulty surviving that length of time. Obama seems to be concerned that nobody die, so he's ordered these prisoners to be force-fed. And that's a kind of phrase that I don't think many people really understand what it means. What is force-feeding?
Well, first of all, the American medical profession, almost everyone, the Red Cross, has said this is the equivalent of torture. And actually what it is an inmate, you know, a detainee at Guantanamo, is they're pulled in, they're put on a flat table, like an autopsy table. They're strapped down, their feet, their arms, they jerk their head back, they strap it down, and then they put a rubber hose tube through their nose, down their throat, and into their stomach. And many of these people who conduct this you know, they don't have the expertise for it. Many times the detainees say that they use a larger than necessary hose, and it is pure torture, and some have had to remain on that bench for 24 hours. They would soil themselves. Some of them, they would, if they had to go to the bathroom, they would insert a catheter. And I mean, it was not only extremely painful, but the violence to their dignity is atrocious. It is uncalled for. It really, really is. This is a total abomination.
I've even read that one of the prisoners told his lawyer that the most painful irony is that at the end of this force feeding, that there's this tremendous feeling of hunger right at the end of that process. Now, the prisoner hunger strike that they're on now has aroused unprecedented wave of protest about the process the U.S. government has been following and imposing on these people who haven't had either a trial or any even humane treatment. Could you give us an idea of the range of this protest, where it's broken out and in ways that maybe hasn't been seen before?
Well, I think it's amazing to watch it. You know, I'm all the way from Texas, and I didn't hear about it until you know, I started hearing about the hunger strikes and reading about the conditions, and so I was actually a fairly new advocate for the Guantanamo. I wish I could say that I was there at the beginning. There have been many, many groups that have always been there. You know, I think Witness for Torture, and there's been there's a group in London that has been advocating for the release of for the British detainee. And so when Code Pink started working with some of the other groups. And matter of fact, the other day there was probably an alliance of 10 different groups, and we're planning for a major action in Washington, D.C. in front of the Capitol, and we're going to be doing 3 days of actions. And so it's going to be a really big action, and I do know there have been petitions. I believe Change.org has put out a petition to close Guantanamo, and there is over 130,000 signatures to that. And there is also a global fast petition out there to sign up for a day of fasting, or however many days you want. And I signed up for that one and did the indefinite fast. And last count, there's a probably around 1,300 people have signed up, and they're from all over the world. They're from Africa, they're from Germany, they're from Palestine, they're all over. And so it is all over the internet, whether it's all over the mainstream media, who is usually the last to follow, you know, because yesterday we did a huge action, huge. We did an action, and they shut down whole Pennsylvania Avenue in front of the White House. There was 25 officers, there was the ambulance, there was the EMS, there was the SWAT team, there was the rescue, and, you know, and it was these, you know, independent media and internet that have been, it is widespread. It is all over the internet.
Well, I've seen that even people who work for the U.S. military, who've been prosecutors at Guantanamo, have also called for the release of the prisoners. And so it seems to be spreading to the New York Times is editorialized. So it is clearly a do-or-die issue for the prisoners, and solidarity is going to be important in deciding which it is, freedom or death, really. Now, President Obama said when he first ran for president that one of the first things he was going to do was shut down Guantanamo. And now that he's elected for a second time, he seems to have dusted off the same speech, mouthing the same words, but again saying he really can't do it by himself. He has to be done with this group, with that group, with the other. He's pretending to be powerless. What game is going on there?
Well, it's like there was a briefing in the Rayburn Building in Congress just yesterday we went to, and it was a very strong declaration that the Guantanamo should be shut down, and it was actually a report from the Constitutional Project's Task Force on the detainee treatment of all of these men. And matter of fact, one of the gentlemen had been Colin Powell's deputy director, and he said Obama could have shut down Guantanamo yesterday, and he definitely can do it tomorrow. I mean, he can do it immediately, but it's like the moral fiber of the government has been changed to the loyalty to parties, the Democrats and the Republicans, and it becomes, and it's like the Guantanamo and the values of democracy are lost in this politics. It is a political football, is what it is. But Obama could do it today. He could get this moving today. And as one of the senators said yesterday, is like there apparently has to be very much political pressure, and that's what we intend to show them. But Obama can do this right now.
Well, I wish you the strength to continue the struggle you've taken up, and I salute your courage as well, as of course I do for the Guantanamo prisoners themselves. Thanks for speaking with us today, Diane.
Oh, you bet. Thank you for calling.
I've been speaking with Diane Wilson. She's a co-founder of the anti-war group Code Pink. She's a fourth-generation shrimper and environmental activist. As part of the Code Pink Solidarity Initiative with the Guantanamo prisoners, Diane is now, as she said, on the 11th day of an open-ended hunger strike. And she was arrested yesterday while chaining herself to the White House fence.
This podcast was produced by the Red Eye Collective in Vancouver, BC. If you live in the Vancouver area and are interested in creating alternative radio with us, we'd love to hear from you. Contact us at redeye@coopradio.org.